The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press on it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning. Our first official day of fall in Houston, where the weather is below 80 degrees. We give thanks for this cooler weather. And we also give thanks for everybody that is here with us today. And so this week, dear friends, I wonder, how much time do you spend in traffic? I imagine most of y'all from Houston probably expect to be in traffic for about 20 minutes. I've heard it said many times, if you go right across the street, it takes 30 minutes. If you go to Tomball from here, it takes 30 minutes. But we spend our time in this traffic. And for me, this is a time to clear my head, not think about work, not think about the things I have to do. And yes, even in the midst of traffic of honking and beeping, it is a time for me to listen to the music that comes on the radio. This week, however, it seemed very clear to all my Jennifer Lopez and Maroon 5 and all my pop music that we're going to talk about love and relationships. A study on the psychology of music determined that about 67% of lyrics in every song from every decade since the 60s were somehow related to love. The close ones that came into second were money, partying, and depression. Does this mean that our songwriters understand love because they write about it so much? Wouldn't it be refreshing, dear friends, if we hear a song by someone who knows what love is? That is our reading that we had this morning, a love song written and sung by God to you and to me. As we listen to this genuine love song, we're going to learn how much God has done for us, continues to do, and what God expects from us. In our reading this morning, we heard from Isaiah that we are God's vineyard. We hear what God has done for us, clearing the stones, planting and planning and putting up a fence, probably watching the weather to making sure we get enough water for those vines. God accompanies us and continues to accompany us. In fact, God is doing that right now in our time together, dear friends. God wants you and me to know that we are loved even when the world will sometimes make us feel unloved. God is doing more than just telling us of God's love. God is creating and strengthening faith in the promise of love. Just as a farmer removes the stones and weeds before they plant, so our stony hearts must be worked on before planting the seeds of faith. This happens every time we meditate on the words from Scripture. Through the words of our Scripture, the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts and creates new faith. This happens when we serve our neighbors, extending the love of God to all those around us. This happens even when we see a stranger and giving them the smallest act of kindness. Even after faith has been created, the Holy Spirit says to nurture our faith just as a farmer stays to prune their own vines. So why, I wonder, would God do all this? Why does a farmer go through the hassle of planting a vineyard, knowing all the work that has to be put into place? And I imagine for us Texans this summer, you might have asked that question with the lack of rain. Why do all this work in the heat? We plant so we can enjoy the fruit. In the same way, God has created faith in our hearts so that we will produce fruit that brings joy to the world. The Apostle Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is this: of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When God sees us doing these, we bring joy to the world. But is that what we really produce? It's not what God saw in the Israelites of the day of Isaiah. God expected the people to produce choice grapes because God had done so much for them, but instead he found only wild ones. I put sour, so I imagine they're sour. I don't know. But sure, on the outside the Israelites may have looked good, but on the inside their intentions were bad. God brings out that point with the wordplay in the last verse of the text in Isaiah. God said that God looked for justice but found bloodshed. God sought righteousness but only heard cries of distress. The Israelites may have thought that the way they were living was good enough, but through the lens of righteousness and justice, it wasn't. They were way off target. In fact, they were doing the opposite of what God had expected from them. Are we, dear friends, guilty of the same thing? Have we tricked ourselves into thinking that we're doing what God wants when we're doing the opposite? Have you ever said, "I've never committed road rage. God must be happy with me." Or, "I love when our confirmation class, when we say about the commandment, 'Thou shalt not kill,' oh, I haven't killed anybody. God must be happy with me." God is certainly happy that we have not killed anybody. God is certainly happy that we haven't cut anyone off on the highway, giving them a choice hand gesture. But he expects more from the vineyard. God wants us to show the fruit of patience, peace, gentleness in the words that we speak and in our thoughts, as well as our actions. For our friends that are studying the small commandment, we know Luther says we are to fear and love God, so we don't do this, but we do this instead. Because the Israelites had produced the fruit God wanted, he said to them, "Now I will tell you what I am going to do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain. Since God's vineyard had not produced the grapes God wanted, God is going to let the vineyard be destroyed. Such harsh language. Wait a minute, we thought this was a love song. We saw that in the first verse in Isaiah. The fact that God warned them about the dire consequence of their sin is loving because God didn't want them to suffer circumstances. Our parents and grandparents know that we tell our children not to touch the stove because we do not want them to suffer the burns that they would receive. They might describe the blisters that would form and the throbbing pain because they don't want their children or their grandchildren to experience it firsthand. God speaks to us, dear friends, in the same way this morning. God warns us that if we continue to ignore God's gift of grace and do things our way, and if we keep producing bloodshed when God calls for justice, we will suffer the same dire consequence. Hearing this, dear friends, we must be vigilant and continue to be reminded of how much God has done for us and continues to do for us. Just as a parent reminds their child that they are loved, and trust me, Asher goes, "I know, Dad." The moment you stop saying, "I love you," your child will start to wonder. So too must we be reminded of that love that God has for each and every one of you. Like a farmer clearing stones from their field, Jesus has cleared the sins of our lives and bore the weight of the cross. Jesus came to this earth to heal, teach, comfort the stranger, welcome the outcast, tell us a little bit about some hard truths in our lives, and removed our sins through his death and resurrection. Christ's life-giving work saved us from punishment, and we are called to offer to extend this to our neighbors, our world. A good love song, dear friends, as you know, and as the choir knows, is one that especially is one that is sung by someone you love, gives you goosebumps. God has sung this love song for you this morning, dear friends. May that love in you produce good fruit. Amen.
Amen.